Once again, Van, thank you so much. Wow. Honey, did you invite all these people here?
Yeah.
Wow, well, you've done good. It is so wonderful to see you here. Wow, how you like the new seats? I heard someone say early, boy, it'll be easier to go to sleep now. Yeah. Which reminds me of a story. One Sunday, the minister was preaching away, and this gentleman just got up and walked out in the middle of the service. And at the end of the service, when everybody was filing by and talking to the minister, his guy's wife came up and apologized to the minister, said, I'm so sorry about my husband leaving in the middle of the service. She said, he walks in his sleep all the time. So feel at home. You know, my feeling about it is if is anywhere you should feel comfortable and safe enough to be able to go to sleep in public, it ought to be in church. So I would just trust it by the process of, or some kind of process in nature anyway. Soak it up, whether you're asleep or awake. I'm glad you're here. As you know by now, we're spending this year taking a look at what in unity we call the 12 powers of man. Charles Fillmore wrote a book by that title. And it's been, I've not been able to find out whether Charles Fillmore originated this idea or whether he found it somewhere else, but regardless, it's something that we've used for a long time as a paradigm for studying our spiritual development. So far this year, we've looked at faith and strength and wisdom and love, and this month we're looking at power. And next month, during July, during which somebody has a birthday, it's going to be imagination. So on we go with the 12 powers through this year. Now, when we look at power, we can look at two different ways. One is, well, how does the world look at power? How does the world define power? And one of the definitions is the ability to do something or act in a particular way, especially as a faculty or a quality. And some of the synonyms that we find in the dictionary for power are capability, potential, potentiality, faculty, property, competency, and it goes on from there. So the traditional 3D world has a pretty good idea what power means there, but what do we mean power when we talk about spiritual power? Charles Fillmore said that humankind's innate control over their thoughts and feelings is power. Then he says that humankind is the power of God in action. Humankind is the power of God in action. To humankind is given the highest power in the universe, the conscious. There is a universal creative that urges humankind forward, the creative power of his individual thought. This thought is elemental, and all its attributes come under the dominion of humankind. When they cooperate with principle, humankind sits on the throne of their authority. The elemental force is subject to them. So power, spiritual power, is the action of God moving in and through you and me, Spirit using us in that particular way. Now, there's some things about power that we want to say power is not. And one of the things that power is not, it is not a manifestation of our humanness. It is a manifestation through our humanness, but not of our humanness. Now, we can look at our world. I think being a human being is the most incredible thing. And I think we've only just begun to scratch the surface of understanding what it means to be human and all the capabilities that we have. I don't think we've even come close to understanding fully the characteristics that we humans have and to live up to the best of who and what we are. But spiritual power does not come out of our humanness. It comes through our humanness. That's important for us to understand because when we look at what we've done with our humanness, we don't have a real good record here. If you study, as I have recently, all the gods and goddesses down through the millennia that we've been doing this sort of thing, what happens, you would think that the gods and goddesses would be the perfect form, that they would be the ideal. But really what we did is we took the gods and goddesses and made them into pseudo-humans. And not the best of humans either, because if you read the stories about the gods and the goddesses, you'll find that there was incest and adultery and rape and murder and lying and theft and all kinds of things going on among the gods. And this is supposed to be what humankind was worshiping. It didn't work very well that way. So let us definitely say that this power, this spiritual power that we're speaking about, does not come out of our humanness. It's not an invention of humankind. Now, because of that, we can also say that power is not limited. Spiritual power is not limited. Our human power is most certainly limited, as I found out last week. We're doing some renovation work in our backyard, and we had four trees that I was going to dig up. And I've told several people, if you really want to know what an iceberg is really like, you know, they say two-thirds of it's under the water, just cut down a tree this big around and then try to dig the roots out. It's this big under the ground. So I spent 2 days getting to the place where I could barely drag myself in the house. I bought this tool that we called a dirt digger. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. It's this pole that's 6 feet long. It's about an inch in diameter, made out of cast iron. And it weighs about 30 pounds. And you use that to dig out around trees and things like that to break the dirt up. By the end of the day, I couldn't pick the thing up. You know, you're supposed to take it like this and jam it in under the roots to break everything loose. And I was going, when the day was over. So I had definitely found the limits of my human power. And we know that in the human body, there's energy stored and chemically in your bloodstream and in your muscles. So when your body needs some extra energy, it starts pulling that stuff out of your bloodstream until that's exhausted. Then it starts pulling it out of your muscles until that's exhausted. And then your body starts eating the muscle to give it energy. But at some point, enough is enough and you just can't do it anymore. And I'd reached that point twice in those 2 days where it was just, I was completely done. I could barely walk, put one foot in front of the other. So I definitely wasn't using my spiritual power during that time. So it's important for us to realize that spiritual power, as we know it, has no limits. It will not run out. It doesn't get less. No matter how much of it we use, or no matter how much we give ourselves to be used by it, there is no limit to it. And that's something that's pretty exciting, because there are limits to everything else. There are limits to patience. How many of you have either said or heard it said, "You're getting on my last nerve"? You know, that I have no more patience for this. This is, and how about this one? That's it, right there. You reach the limit. Well, we don't have to worry about that with spiritual power. There is no limit that we're going to run into. There is no diminishment. There is no going away. Another thing is important to note about spiritual power is that spiritual power is no respecter of persons. Spiritual power is not available because you're good. Spiritual power is not there because you've done something special. Now, in our humanness, we like to feel special, don't we? How many of you have ever been a VIP in some setting? How many of you ever wished to be a VIP in some setting? Yeah? If you go to a club and you're a member of the VIPs and you get ushered in before everybody else. If you go to a restaurant and you're a VIP, you get special treatment, a special place to sit and a special dinner, that sort of thing. So we treat people that way. We make a distinction between people who are special and people who are not special. If you're not a VIP, you don't get the special seat. You don't get to go in early. You don't get the special treatment along the way. Spiritual power doesn't care about whether you're special or not. Spiritual power sees all of us the same. It is available to all of us. Spiritual power doesn't discriminate among us as to whom it is available. So why is it then that we see some people that we would say, that person is really spiritually powerful, and look at somebody else and say, I don't see any spiritual power there? If spiritual power indeed is limitless and is available to everybody all the same, why do we see this discrepancy between people and how they manifest the spiritual power? It's because the manifestation of spiritual power does not depend on whether you're good enough or whether you deserve it or not. It's whether you are open or not, whether you are willing or not, whether you are awake and aware to let it move in and through you. It's there. It's like you opening and closing a valve, and that's up to you. It's not up to the power. The power is waiting there to flow in and through you in whatever marvelous way you choose, and that's your decision. You have that power, if you will, to be a vessel for the Spirit of God to move in and through you. And it's really important for us to remember that, because very often in our human lives, we give into this idea of some are better than others and some are not so good as others. Now, I always like to give you something to think about. kind of twist your head around a little bit. So here's the head twister this morning. How many of you have ever heard, you can do anything you really want to do? You can be anything you really want to be, right? How's that working out for you? Yeah, most of the time not so good. And you get really frustrated, and what do you begin to feel? Something's wrong with me. Because I really, really want to be this, and I can't make it happen. I really, really want to have this, and I can't manifest it anyway. Something's wrong with me then. I think there's something wrong with what we're wanting. I think that we're doing ourselves a great disservice. Now hear me. This is Lawrence speaking. I won't claim any kind of ultimate authority. This is absolutely true. I mean, I believe it, but you don't have to. But chew on it a little bit. What if that is not a true statement? What if that's not an accurate goal to put before us that you can do and be anything that you really want to badly enough? What if we come here with a certain sphere of experience that's available to us? And again, being human beings, I don't think we've even begun to exhaust all of that. I think for every one of us, there are possibilities we haven't even dreamed about yet, even though there are limits to it at some point. But we can be what is ours to be. We can do what is ours to do. And some things aren't ours to be, some things aren't ours to do. Any of you watched the Kentucky Derby yesterday? Did your horse win? No. We missed the best. Mom called her and said, when's the Kentucky Derby happening? And it was just over. Bless her heart, she missed it that time. But have you ever been up close to a jockey, the guy that ride the horses? They're little bitty guys. They're about this big around. And they encourage them to be small because have you ever seen the weigh-ins where the jockey's standing with holding a saddle and stepping on the scale? There are very strict requirements about how much weight each horse carries. And what happens if the jockey is lighter than that weight, they put weight on the saddle. And that weight on the saddle is more steady than on the jockey. So a lighter jockey is better, so they can make the saddle heavier and it rides smoother. So those jockeys are little bitty things. Now what if I tell you, I want more than anything else in the world to be a professional jockey. Now I'm just a tad over 200 pounds. You're not going to see a jockey under any circumstances that weighs a little bit over 200 pounds, right? So for somebody to tell me, if I want to be a jockey bad enough, I can be a jockey. Well, there's a word for that I won't use in the present company, but I don't think so. So if we can get that square in our heads, understand that spiritual power doesn't mean I can do anything I want to do. I can be anything I want to do. What it means is I can be alert and awake and aware of who I am and what the possibilities are for me and what really stirs my soul for me to be. And I think I am doing exactly what I was meant to do here. I'm doing exactly right now what is mine to do. And I don't have any problem with that. I have no trouble seeing spiritual power flowing through me as I serve as minister because that feels just perfectly right. And there are things like that for you as well. Now, sometimes we want to be something spectacular. And our culture values something that's outstanding, something that's unusual. Our culture values the VIPs sometimes more than the ordinary folks. I got a sermon on a preach one day called The Wonder of the Ordinary. Another time. But when we come to understand that this spiritual power is mine, and it is waiting to be put into place. It's waiting. It's looking for a place to flow in and through. And that's you and me. So the deeper we go into our spiritual understanding, the more we know about who we are to be and who we can be and what we are called to be. And we can begin to see those things develop in our lives. And again, it doesn't have to be something spectacular. It doesn't have to be something that would go on the evening news. You may be feeling yourself to be wonderfully ordinary. But to do that, there's nothing better in the world than to be exactly who you are, regardless of what that is. And Spirit sees the truth in that. So your spiritual power manifests according to your willingness, your openness, your awareness. So whatever you do in your spiritual discipline, your prayer, your meditation, your study, your exercise, all of those things, allow those things to be openings to the presence of Spirit moving in you as spiritual power. And don't tie it down with all these other expectations and all these other ideas that are really false, that really don't work for us. Hold it in the truth of who you are and what you are, and let that power of Spirit flow in you and through you completely and cleanly. So remember now that spiritual power is not from your humanness. Spiritual power is not limited as other things are. And spiritual power, the flow of spiritual power in you and through you, depends on you. And I don't say that in an accusing or a judging kind of way. I'm saying that in an encouraging kind of way, a motivating kind of way. It's up to you. I don't like somebody else being responsible for my stuff. I don't like to know that for me to advance spiritually, it depends on somebody else's opinion of me. That just doesn't feel very right. That depends on me. And it's the same for you. The flow of spiritual power depends on your openness, your willingness, and you have control of that. Nobody else does. That opens the door for us. It shows us possibilities like we've never thought about before. So be sure to keep in mind as well this idea of what is mine to do. It may be that you're spending a lot of time and energy wanting something that's really not yours to do. Let it be yours to do, and let that spiritual power flow in and through you and manifest that which is to come. That's what power is all about, the ability to act and to make things happen. Papa Charlie also talked about power, spiritual power, being that ability to transmute things from one level to another. You remember that paradigm of the creative process? Those of you who've been in any of my classes, you should remember that one anyway. What's a creative process? Mind, idea, expression. Spiritual power is what allows us to transmute idea into expression. Out of mind comes a form, comes an idea, comes a possibility, and that gets transmuted into reality, into manifestation through the use of spiritual power flowing in and through us. But when it is yours to do, it opens the door to that power to flow. And if it's not yours to do, it's like beating your head against a brick wall. The energy's not going to flow because it's not there, because those things may not be yours to do. So double check with your heart about, is this mine to do? It's a very simple little phrase to use. Is this mine to do? Especially when somebody else tries to put something on you. You should be doing this. You really should be doing it like this. And you can simply say, is this mine to do? And if it's no, you can say, well, thank you very much for that. And going about your way, following the things that are yours to do, and that spiritual energy moving in and through you powerfully. That is your destiny. That is who we are as human beings. We were not designed to spend lives of frustration. We were not designed to spend lives of failure. We were designed to spend lives of success, whatever that means, in spiritual power. To be able to transmute energy from one form to another, from an idea to a manifestation. And something else I'm going to preach about one of these days is, what do you do when you manifest something and you want to undo it? Everything serves its purpose. What if you manifest something and then you find that, hey, this is not serving me anymore, but I don't know what to do with it now because I manifested it. What do I do now? Well, for me, spiritual power means I can change energy from one form to another. If I can go from mind to idea to expression, why is it I can't go from expression back to idea, turn it back into basic energy and release it? I believe we can. That's another one for another time. But that's spiritual power in action, doing those kinds of things that serve us best in our everyday lives. I want to close with a poem, and I want to offer apologies to Rudyard Kipling. I'm not sure when he passed, but I know he's not around anymore. He wrote a poem called If. Some of you, how many of you are familiar with it? Yeah, I thought so. I changed if to when to make it more affirmative. I didn't change the content of the poem at all, but just that one word, and I think it works better for us in this context. So let me share this with you, please. When you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, when you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, when you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or be lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give away to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. When you can dream and not make dreams your master, when you can think and not make thoughts your aim, when you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, when you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. When you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. When you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your long turn after they are gone, and so hold on when there's nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. When you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch. When neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you. When all men count with you but none too much. When you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run. Yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a powerful, mature human. So I encourage you as you go into this week to take with you a new sense about spiritual power, that it is yours, and it depends on you how big the door is open, how big the conduit through which is flowing this spiritual power, because it's waiting for you to say yes. I invite you to say yes. Over and over. When you have the opportunity, say yes. When you know it's the right thing to do, say yes. When you feel that call within you, say yes. Say yes. Say yes. God bless you, my friends.
You know, in this month of power, it feels so good to be here and be part of this spiritual community that we have grown and developed. Well, we're in our 11th year now. And one thing that we ask of people wanting to join our membership is that they attend a unity orientation, hear about the history of the unity movement, hear about our history here, and then decide if they can make a commitment to ownership. Everybody is welcome here, and you see by the dedication of the names of seats that are given, several of those people are not official members here, but they've made a commitment to this community. So as you reflect on power and how you use your power and what you put your finances into supporting, think about adding your financial gift here so that we may continue using our power, because we focus on our spiritual principles here, our dedication to love in this community, our dedication to no drama, as much fairness and love that we can have for each person. We encourage that, and you'll feel that. If you haven't been in this community yet, you will feel that. Even though we aren't meeting in Fellowship Hall, you will feel that here. So we encourage your giving, and we are so very grateful to those of you who do give. Whatever amount, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. And so our gift to each other is to bless our giving together. And let's use our standard one we've been using for a couple years, but although the title is good, we switch it around. So this month with power, let's do it with power. With a grateful heart, we acknowledge God of source of all that is. Today, we let go of any concern of lack, and we allow power to unfold in our lives. And by power, we're speaking of spiritual power. Spiritual power is ours. Power and more power is ours. An ever-increasing power is ours. Everywhere we go, we see this power. We feel it. We experience it. We freely give it. And it multiplies itself around us. And so it is. Amen.